Folks, the destination of this coach is Hazard, Kentucky. We're due there at 5:15. For your convenience, there's a restroom located in the rear of the coach.
You gonna get sick?
Huh? Oh my God, he's coming at you!
Alright, when it comes to 2-year-old Olivia James, you are not the cop.
You've irritated the tool gods. You must now be smeared with the holy grease of disdain.
Brought to you by WorldWrestlingInsanity.com. It's JG's Radio Free Insanity with your host, James Gutman. Yo, Gutman, what's the ish?
Yes, yes, that is me. What is up, kids? As you just heard, I'm James Gutman. This is JG's Radio Free Insanity. Today is Friday. It is October the 28th. It is 2005. I want to thank you guys for tuning in and taking a listen. We got a pretty good show lined up today. We're going to have Mallory Molling in here in a few minutes, right here live on the phone line. She's going to talk about The Ultimate Fighter, a little bit about Monday Night Raw. So that's going to be cool. Get Mallory on here. A lot of you guys can hear what she sounds like, and we'll be doing that with a lot of our contributors here. Also, we're going to have Nick Bockwinkel in later on in the show. Nick, really been through so much in this industry, former AWA champion, great tag team with Ray Stevens. Very few people. You'll be hard-pressed to find somebody who watched wrestling in the 80s who didn't know who Nick Bockwinkel was, or the early 80s, or the 70s, or the 60s. The guy, he's had a hell of a career, and he's got a great mind for the business. I think you guys will enjoy his interview, too. But also, this week as well, we're bringing back the Moment of Insanity. That will be here this week. And holy crap, did we pick the right week to bring back the Moment of Insanity. We have a new intro for it, too, and yeah, I think you guys will like it. So that's going to be pretty cool, too. We got a lot going on. I'm very excited. I'm very excited about what we have coming up right here. One of the first things I guess we'll talk about before we jump right into the phone lines is Taboo Tuesday is coming to you on Tuesday. If you guys are looking for a place to see it covered, it's going to be covered right here. Our very own Cillian Veloni is going to be doing the real-time results right here on the website. For those of you guys who know Cillian, you know that, he definitely has a unique style about him. And he's I love having him do the virtual time reviews because he's got this way of analyzing the show and putting comedy into it and putting his own humor into it without taking away from the rest of it. You mean like you, Gutman? Yeah, like me, just like me. So he's been really good, and we're very excited to have him. So it's going to be pretty cool. We'll have him on for Taboo Tuesday. So yeah, be sure to check that out. And for those of you guys who have been writing about Taboo Tuesday, I have to agree with you. I think this year's Taboo Tuesday, amazingly enough, is more scripted than last year's Taboo Tuesday. And I think it's a tactical error on WWE's part to overscript these shows as much as they do and to make them as blatantly scripted as they are. For example, this year they have the main event is going to be a three-way for the world title, okay? And WWE is allowing its fans to pick the third member of this three-way match. Now, again, it sounds like a pretty good deal, but your only choices are Shawn Michaels, Big Show, and Kane to go in there with Angle and Cena. And really, when you look at the situation, it almost appears to be silly because WWE is putting Michaels over the two of them. It doesn't really take too much effort to understand that Shawn Michaels is more over than the Big Show. Perhaps there's a little bit there with Kane, but at the grand scheme of things, people are just voting between these three guys to go in there, and WWE is fairly sure that Shawn Michaels is going to get the nod. Why? Because Michaels performs well in situations like that. I think Michaels in there with Cena and Angle would be a good match. The only problem that I do have is the facade that WWE tries to pretend like this is a voting thing. Now, I know you think I'm nitpicking, and technically, I would usually agree with you, except for the fact that the rest of the card plays out the same way. You turn around and you have Steve Austin and the coach. I think this is the most ridiculous one. Steve Austin and the coach going at it in a match to determine whether or not Jim Ross comes back. We'll talk a lot more about Jim Ross in a little bit. But the choices for their match are a debate, an arm wrestling match, and a street fight. Yeah, a debate, an arm wrestling match, and a street fight. This reminds me of having a kid, and, you know, your little boy or your little girl, your son or daughter is bored. So you say, okay, well, I have three ideas on what you could do to have some fun today. You can either have a big bowl of ice cream and watch television. That's choice one. Choice two, you could do yard work with me. And choice three, you could do homework. What would you like to do? I mean, it's bullshit. You know from looking at the choices, if anybody is voting for the debate, then that person's an idiot. And I say that because no one buys wrestling pay-per-views to watch Steve Austin and the coach debate. If anything, I don't want to hear the coach talk anyway. WWE is keenly aware of that, so that makes sense. But, okay, so that's just one match. All right, let's move on to the Ric Flair Triple H match, which I thought had the most potential to be a match with a number of choices. I forgot what exactly they were. There was a steel cage match, false count anywhere match, things like that. And they had a good amount of choices, very diverse things. I mean, not the best choices in the world. I mean, obviously, we're not going up and down the spectrum. They're not offering 3,000 matches. They're offering three, except Ric Flair comes out on Monday and begged the audience to put him in a steel cage. When I say begged the audience, I mean Ric Flair begged the audience.
Please! Please! Put me in a cage! Will that S-O-B? Please! Put me in a cage! A cage! A cage! A cage!
And I was like, whoa, dude, slow down, all right. And it was followed up by Jerry Lawler saying that if the audience had as much respect for Ric Flair as he did, Ric Flair would be in a cage. Now, I know what people are saying. They're going, well, James, what the hell is, you know, what are you bitching about? What's the big deal? Why would they want him in a cage? Well, I don't know. Maybe because they have to construct the damn cage in the ring anyway. You know, I mean, if it's Taboo Tuesday, and there really is three choices, they have to have the cage hanging above the ring before the match, right? It has to be there, and it has to be up. So, what's worth more to them? To just use the damn thing? Or to construct it for no reason? So they have Flair come out, and he begs them for a cage match, and then Jerry Lawler guilts everybody into voting for it. Again, it's like being a broken record, because I said this last year, WWE doesn't need to do this for Taboo Tuesday. And WWE should be keenly aware of what their fans like and who they don't like. It would take nothing, and I mean seriously nothing, for WWE to make there be 10 choices for the third participant in the world title match. There's absolutely no reason why the participants that you could vote for shouldn't be Shelton Benjamin. I mean, I'm just going to name people here at random, and then at the end put Shawn Michaels and Kane in there. Okay, so Shawn Michaels, Kane, and then like Shelton Benjamin, Simon Dean, and this one, and that one, and that one, and this one. WWE realizes that there are certain people who are going to get the votes. He did it last year with the Intercontinental title match. There's certain people that fans are going to gravitate to, and that fans are probably going to vote for. Now, if the WWE gives them a ton of choices, and they vote for one of those people, they still got the same end result they wanted. They still got Shawn Michaels in that match. They still got, or Kane in that match, or whoever they wanted there would most likely be in that match. But not only that, they've now presented the impression that they were giving people a choice, and that it really was a truly interactive pay-per-view. Instead, they give them three choices, and people go, nah, but I know what you're asking me. You're saying, well, James, what if all the fans get together and vote for Shelton Benjamin to go into the main event? Well, then, fuck it. Put him in the main event. Why? Because the fans voted for him. You know that that's what the fans want. Doesn't make any sense to me. It just seems kind of silly for WWE to say, well, they're not saying it, but I know people are assuming what they're thinking, and the rationale of something like this is that, well, they don't want people to show up and just screw up their pay-per-view by putting the wrong people in the main event. Well, I got news for you. If your idea here is to really give the main event that the fans want, why would you worry about what they're going to vote for? Whatever they vote for is what you should put on, because that's what your fans want to see. I mean, I don't know. It just seems silly to me to put on an interactive pay-per-view and then to stress out about what would happen if the fans didn't do what you wanted. But so it goes, man. So it goes. I mean, this is wrestling, and as Dr. Tom Pritchard pointed out in his column yesterday, if you get a chance, check it out. Talked a little bit about reality and wrestling and how wrestling isn't exactly the real world. and then kind of mocked that idea, and he went back and forth on it. But in reality, wrestling, I mean, it's a scripted form of entertainment on TV, but it is real in the sense that they have real fans, and they have real people watching the show, and you have to really give people what they want on a continuous basis, and WWE doesn't seem to be doing that lately. By the way, check out Dr. Tom's column over at WorldWrestlingInsanity.com, thank you. So yeah, I mean, that's exactly what it breaks down to. You have to have some sort of sense of, you know, there are real people watching these shows, and you want to get their real money out of their real pockets. So at the end of the day, if the fans choose something that you don't like, well, you know what? It's not the wrong choice, because it's what they want, and they're going to pay for it. And if they're going to pay for it, let them. Don't turn down money. I don't know what to tell you guys. That's how I look at it. I'd much rather, if I was running a company, I would much rather let my audience pick what they want and just deliver that than try to figure out what I want to show them and take a loss. It just doesn't make sense to me. And I think WWE is operating a little backwards in business practices that way. They really need to let their fans start really choosing what they want, especially if you're going to present the impression that's what the pay-per-view is all about, because that's what Taboo Tuesday is supposed to be all about. But what can I tell you guys? Now, I brought up reality for a reason. That's because Miss Mallory Malling, who's about to check in and should be up sometime later today with her Ultimate Fighter recap, has not only been doing the Raw real-time reviews here, but also has been recapping the Ultimate Fighter, which is rapidly becoming one of my favorite reality shows, just because, I mean, you can watch Survivor until you're blue in the face, but I would have given anything to see some of those people kick each other's ass instead of just voting at the end of the week. I mean, wouldn't you? That's how I sell the Ultimate Fighter to people. I turn around and I go, all right, my picture, Big Brother. Only at the end of the week, they don't vote each other out. They beat the hell out of each other. I mean, that's cool. And as really, as a wrestling fan and as a, I guess, not too well-adjusted person I am, I enjoy watching people beat each other up at the end of the week after having fights in the house. That's pretty cool for me. Mallory Malling does too. So guys, people have been asking for a while, what does she sound like? Can we see a picture? Well, you know what? You're going to hear her right now, because right here on the phone line, let's get her out here, Mallory Malling. What's up, Mal?
Hi. So nice to be on your show.
Yeah, it's good to have you on. It's our show, Mallory, WorldWrestlingInsanity.com. I guess a couple of things we should talk about. I mean, you're the Raw person here. Me and you have been doing Raw for 3 years now, a little over 3 years, which mm-hmm. is like a prison sentence in some cases, especially after Monday. You had to sit through what I had to sit through on Monday. What did you think about whatever that was?
I just thought it was the most repulsive thing I'd ever seen. It was just beyond crass.
Yeah. Well, I think the thing that blew my mind wasn't even the setup of it. I think it was just the juvenile nature of, I mean, right down to being called Dr. Heine. I don't think we can get any, I think there actually is a word to refer to the human ass by that is more juvenile than Dr. Heine. Just blew my mind. But you were also, I mean, you reviewed it during the Katie Vick time. You were like me. I was only around for a month, but you had been doing it for a while by then. For you, how does this skit compare to Katie Vick and that Triple H debacle?
Katie Vick was sort of a made-up person. You know, it was kind of off-putting, but it wasn't a real person. And Jim Ross is, you know, somebody everybody loves. He had surgery, and here they are mocking it.
Yeah. Well, you brought up something. We were talking about this before I had you on. We were talking about what's going to happen if this does turn out to be something serious. And here they are now for all time on video making fun of this guy's procedure. And, you know, at least where I come from, you don't play with stuff like that because you never know what's going to end up happening down the line. You know what I mean?
Right.
So what do you think? I mean, do you think that the McMahons are the kind of people that are just so beyond compassion that if something were to happen to Jim Ross, you think that they're, how would they feel about this? What do you think?
They'd probably blame it on somebody else.
That's a good point. Probably the internet for being too negative, right?
Yeah. So. Certainly not them for making fun of some serious surgery.
It's just amazing.
That's not a facelift or anything. That's real serious stuff.
Yeah.
Someone's surgery.
Well, I mean, I think what's even worse is that, I mean, this is a guy that worked for them, for years, and whether they liked him or not or wanted to get rid of him or anything like that, I mean, this is the kind of situation where, I mean, we're hearing from a ton of people that, you know, I mean, it's a work, it's a shoot, it's this, it's that, but still, at the end of the day, it's them really making somebody who made them money and helped call their shows, they're really just kicking him when he's down at a really bad point. I mean, do you think that anybody else on the roster is taking notice of this? Do you think anybody else is going to feel a little more put off by the McMahon family, knowing that if they could treat someone like Jim Ross this way, they could pretty much treat anybody like this?
Probably so, but they're probably too intimidated to say anything about it or do anything about it.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's what you get when you have only one company left, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you were around. I mean, you were reviewing wrestling. I mean, I came around after WWE had bought out WCW.
Mm-hmm.
So, but you were around when there were a number of different promotions running at once, and you were reviewing the shows, which means that you were really getting, you know, deeply analyzing the shows and things like that. Do you see a difference in how the McMahons have handled themselves and their company since buying out WCW and ECW folding?
Yeah, I get the feeling that they really don't care. It's their toy. If you don't like it, don't watch it.
Uh-huh.
You know?
Yeah.
When there was the competition, there was some effort made to, you know, make it interesting. Now it's just stupid.
I mean, that's the operative word. I mean, I'm totally with you on that. I think that one of the most amazing things is that the McMahons haven't yet learned to separate controversy from just stupidity. I mean, I don't think, at least if it was controversial on Monday, there'd be something to debate, you know. But, I mean, there's really nothing to debate. What are we going to debate? Whether or not he should have pulled, you know, something besides, maybe he should have pulled a basketball out of his butt. I mean, what kind of, you know, debate is this going to spark instead of, you know, just looking at it and just throwing your hands in the air and getting sick of it?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, honestly, yeah, I mean, is this the kind of thing that if you had a, I mean, if I had a friend over who had never watched wrestling before that had seen that skit, I probably would have been, you know, pretty embarrassed to say anything.
I'd have been mortified. Fortunately, nobody I knew watched it, so I didn't have to try to defend it even.
That's funny. You know what? That's starting to become the norm lately. I feel like there was a time when my friends would call me on like Tuesday and say, oh, you know, I watched the Raw last night, and I saw this, and that hasn't happened in a couple of years now. No, I don't know. Well, we talked before about the Ultimate Fighter, because you review that as well.
Uh-huh.
And I want to know your thoughts on this season and how it's been going and how you feel about the show.
This season hasn't been quite as edgy as the last one. The last one, you know, I guess had a lot of booze in the house, and everybody was kind of a little freer with their actions and their tongues and whatever. This time, the only real controversial person has been Matt Hughes, who's the coach.
Uh-huh. How do you feel? You think that's affecting his team negatively? Because you wrote an article about that the other day that I thought was really good.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I think it is affecting his team negatively. He's so intense, and when he trains, you know, he gives it 150%, and he expects it out of these guys, and they're getting tired, they're getting injured, and when it comes time to fight, some of them are losing.
Well, what do you think as far as Rich Franklin and Hughes together? Do you think it's more, because one of the things I've noticed, I can't tell yet whether Franklin's doing a good job of coaching and that's why his team is winning, or if he just looks good compared to Matt Hughes, who seems to be working his team to death. What do you think about Rich Franklin and how he's been handling himself?
I think he's terrific. He used to be a school teacher, and I imagine his students just loved him. It's just, you know, just to have patience and understanding and wants people to do well and to learn. I've just been real impressed with Rich Franklin.
How do you compare him to the two from last season? I don't remember Randy Couture and Chuck Liddell. Like how do you compare the four teachers if you had to rank them?
Liddell and Couture, you know, at the top just because of who they are and what they've done to get there. Just, you know, they're just the ultimate coaches. Rich Franklin, I'd give him, you know, good marks too. But he's just, I don't know, he's probably the consummate fighter in the ring or the octagon, but he's kind of annoying.
All right.
Put it mildly.
That's another Rich. Matt Hughes, if you're listening, that was Mallory and not me, because I don't know if he'll hit a girl. Well, to break it down, let me put you on the spot here. If you had to pick one person this season that you think has been the standout star of the show, who would you pick?
Probably Luke Como. The one that eats the seaweed and sleeps on the floor facing east or west or whatever that whole nonsense is.
He reminds me of, what was his name last season? Diego from last season doing his yoga out back.
Yeah.
Now, he shocked a lot of people, Luke, I remember. No one expected him to do much, and he actually ended up going in there and surprised people. Do you think that that's one of the... to me, actually, that's one of the best things that I think, personally, about this show, is that a lot of the guys that you sit out the first day and you say, okay, that guy's going to be good, that guy's going to be a punk. And it, almost in every case, I usually end up being surprised by the final verdict. Like last season with Koscheck and Lieben, I expected Lieben to beat him, and he ended up losing twice. Do you think that that's a hook of the show? Do you think they know about that going in when they're casting, that certain people look one way and are going to end up being a different way?
I don't know. I think they just got lucky last time with Koscheck and Lieben, because that was like the feud that people tuned in to see. That was good stuff. This time, there's really no feuds, except Matt Hughes feuding with, you know, the people he just happened to not like.
Busting his students' eyebrows open for no apparent reason. Maybe, you know what they need? I think maybe they need to bring Bobby Southworth back to call, just start calling people fatherless bastards left and right. Just for the fun of it. Just,
good point.
Clear some doors. What did you, now, if I had to ask you right now to pick somebody that you would think is going to go all the way, not just in the season, but somebody that could be a breakout star after the show's over, kind of like how last season, you know, Forrest Griffin and all them, they ended up, you know, you didn't necessarily have to win to really become a name that people knew. If you had to pick one guy that you think that after the show is over is still going to be someone that you remember, who would you pick for that?
This season or either season?
You know what, either season.
Nate Quarry, I can see him going pretty far up there. He was the one that got injured and never really got to finish the show, but Randy Couture kept him around as the assistant coach.
Oh, okay.
And he's had some good fights since.
All right, now before I let you go, one last question. As I said before, we've been watching this for a while. You've been around for the WWF, WCW wars and things like that. As we're heading in now, we're just beginning this new era of Monday Night Wars, and it's not necessarily a war yet. Then again, it's only been about a month. How do you think long-term UFC, not even necessarily TNA, but the Ultimate Fighting Championship being on Spike TV against Raw, how do you think they're going to hold up, and do you think they're ever going to get to the point where they really are considered a big threat and a viable opponent for WWE? And if you do, how long do you think that might take?
I'm not sure. Just because of the nature of real fights against, you know, pretend fights like pro wrestling, UFC has to, you know, they have to train and, you know, if they get hurt, they have to, you know, have time to recuperate and whatnot, so they can't have a schedule like WWE to have live shows every week, but I think they could combine a live fight with some tape fights, you know, and sort of make a good mix to get people to tune in and see something that's, you know, not always a taped show.
Yeah. All right, Mallory, I want to thank you for coming on. For those of you guys who check out the site, Mallory is on our website. She has a Wednesday column every Wednesday, Theater of the Absurd, if you get a chance to check it out. Also, she reviews The Ultimate Fighter, and you got to spend your Monday nights doing Raw with Mallory, real-time reviews. Mal, thank you so much for coming on. It's always great to talk to you.
Thank you so much. It was great.
Brought to you by WorldWrestlingInsanity.com.